Good morning, everybody. It's good to see you. And may I congratulate you on the no mingling. You've been doing very well. It's very difficult. We're now in tier three. We were in tier two. We're now in tier three. And I'll have to think again if we're going to tier four. But we are so privileged to be here. And if we all sort of do what we can to stick to the rules and everything else, we're doing the best we can. And as I say, feel free to mingle outside at a social distance and say hi to each other and be church in communication. While we're here, we just have to sort of connect in different ways. But it's good to be able to see you all. And yeah, it's really good. Let's have a moment of prayer. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for opening up a new and living way into the presence of God through yourself, your body. And as we gather here today, both physically here, but also gathered together with all those who are listening to this service, wherever they may be, we thank you for your love. Thank you that you have opened up a way into your presence, that we can be forgiven and cleansed. We can become adopted as your children, part of your family forever. We thank you for that grace in which we sit and stand. Amen. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and we'll call him Emmanuel. And that's what Christmas is all about. And we've been celebrating that this year, particularly thinking about Emmanuel, God with us. What will happen this year? How will we cope? What do we have to look forward to? How can I serve God well? There are so many questions that we may have, but we're going to start this year where we finished last year, focusing on Jesus, our Emmanuel, worshipping him. We have two songs that will appear on the screen for us to hum with or use our bodies to worship with, and as we have those songs, do enter into God's presence. And if you want to speak a word of praise in the quietness and so on, then feel free to do so. From the squalor of a borrowed stable. And we can worship Emmanuel, our next song. It's a beautiful expression of what it means to adore Emmanuel, God with us.
Jesus, thank you that you are with us. Whatever life circumstances we have to go through, thank you that you are there with us and go with us through it.
Amen. Amen.
Jesus, we know you have been with us during the past year, and Lord, we place our lives into your hands for this coming year. Whatever happens to any of us, we know that we are walking in your hands.
Yes, Lord. Amen. Amen.
Sharing our humanness and our shame, Father, we thank you for all that you have done for us. In as much as we were lost, but now we're found, and we belong to you.
Thank you, Lord.
And Father, we thank you that just at any moment of night or day we can run into your arms and worship you, praise you, and just love you. And Father, we thank you that we know that that's going to be the whole of our future one day when you do come down, call the bride up to be with yourself.
Thank you, Lord.
And we shall forever, it says, be in your presence to worship you. What bliss that will be, what wonderfulness that will be. Lord, we thank you and we praise you
yes,
for all that you have done. Jesus, for all that you came and suffered for us, we just give you thanks. Amen.
Amen. It's a wonderful thought, isn't it, that Emmanuel is God with us, and one day we will be fully with him. Now come to our reading, which Hilary is going to bring us today. While Hilary's coming up, just want to say a big thank you to Connie, because Connie has been our child through Christmas. Connie has been our child, and we've each week it's just been a very simple activity for Connie to do, which has been colouring in pictures. And in many ways, that's a picture of what God has been doing. We've got an outline of the stable scene or whatever, and God is colouring it in. He's showing us what it's about. And so I want to say a big thank you to Connie and her family who've brought her along just to be with us, to be an all-age family, and to help us colour in the pieces of the Christmas story that perhaps we've not seen before. And now we're returning back to our journey through Acts. And over to you, Hilary.
Acts 18, starting at verse 18. Paul stayed on in Corinth for some time. Then he left the brothers and sisters and sailed for Syria, accompanied by Priscilla and Aquila. Before he sailed, he had his hair cut off at Kenchrea because of a vow he had taken. They arrived at Ephesus, where Paul left Priscilla and Aquila. He himself went into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. When they asked him to spend more time with them, he declined. But as he left, he promised, "I will come back if it is God's will." Then he set sail from Ephesus. When he landed at Caesarea, he went up to Jerusalem and greeted the church, and then went down to Antioch. After spending some time in Antioch, Paul set out from there and travelled from place to place through the region of Galatia and Phrygia, strengthening all the disciples. Meanwhile, a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was a learned man with a thorough knowledge of the scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he spoke with great fervor and taught about Jesus accurately, though he knew only the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they invited him to their home and explained to him the way of God more adequately. When Apollos wanted to go to Achaia, the brothers and sisters encouraged him and wrote to the disciples there to welcome him. When he arrived, he was a great help to those who by grace had believed, for he vigorously refuted his Jewish opponents in public debate, proving from the scriptures that Jesus was the Messiah. While Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples and asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" They answered, "No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." So Paul asked, "Then what baptism did you receive?" "John's baptism," they replied. Paul said, "John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is, in Jesus." On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. There were about 12 men in all. Paul entered the synagogue and spoke boldly there for 3 months, arguing persuasively about the kingdom of God. But some of them became obstinate. They refused to believe, and publicly maligned the way. So Paul left them. He took the disciples with him and had discussions daily in the lecture hall of Tyrannus. This went on for 2 years, so that all the Jews and Greeks who lived in the province of Asia heard the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Hilary. As we've walked through the book of Acts in 2020, we've discovered that the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, has four elements. Firstly, repentance. John the Baptist's baptism was one of repentance. He's one of the candles that we lit here. It was for John the Baptist. And it was about repentance, turning around, changing direction, asking God to forgive us our sins, our rebellion, our I'm in charge attitude. It's never more than at this time do we see that rebellion out there in all sorts of different ways, whether it's 2,500 people gathering in Brittany, or people going from Birmingham to Snowdon, or wherever it might be. I want to do what I want to do. And the gospel starts with repentance, saying sorry for that. Then there's faith in Jesus. Repentance prepares the way for faith in Jesus as our Saviour and Lord. We've heard over Christmas how Jesus' name means the Lord saves. The angel told the shepherds that the baby in the manger is good news for all people. He's the Saviour, Christ the Lord. Joseph was told to call him Jesus because he will save their people from their sins. And Peter, one of the first disciples, declared that salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name given under heaven by which we must be saved. So there's repentance, there's faith in Jesus. And then there's believer's baptism, being baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's a public confession of this faith in Jesus. It confirms that what someone believes in their heart, they're putting into practice. As it says in Romans, "For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, declared innocent, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved." It's all very well saying you believe something, but until you actually speak it out and act upon it, it hasn't really become real. When someone goes down under the water in baptism, just underneath here, for those who don't know this building, just underneath here, if you go under the water, they're saying they want the old sinful nature to die. And as they rise up from the water, they celebrate the new life that they've received in Christ. And then there's a fourth element, and that's baptism in the Holy Spirit, as John the Baptist prophesied, and as Jesus told his disciples. He, that's Jesus, would baptize them in the Holy Spirit. And that's what he did on the day of Pentecost, and he's been doing that every day since, for the last 2,000 years. From the very beginning of the church, all those who repented, who put their faith in Jesus, were told to be baptized in water and to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And they did. You could tell when people were baptized in the Holy Spirit because they immediately praised God. Often with new languages, they prophesied, they spoke the word of the Lord. The Holy Spirit was given to them, Jesus says, to teach them, guide them, empower them to witness to Him, and to make them like Jesus. Same applies to us. He teaches us, He guides us, He empowers us, He helps us to witness to Jesus, and He makes us more like Jesus every day. Paul tells us that the Holy Spirit is a deposit guaranteeing us eternal life in heaven. Or someone who once said, like an engagement ring, saying we are going to be married. And the Holy Spirit prays for us when we can't pray. I imagine most of us at some point during the last year have got to the point where we don't know how to pray, or we don't know what to pray, or we don't even know if we want to pray. The Holy Spirit then prays for us. Jesus prays for us, but the Holy Spirit prays for us. He says things we can't say. He expresses things that we're struggling to express. And one of my favorite things the Holy Spirit does, he reassures us that we are God's children. He reassures us that we're God's children. As I look at you today, those that I know have put their faith in Jesus, you are God's child. And you have no greater calling, no greater identity, no greater status. Some people have lost a lot in terms of relationships or status, identity with their work, all sorts of things in this last year. But knowing we are God's children is the most important thing in terms of status. But in today's reading, there's a problem. Paul could see there was something different about the disciples he met in Ephesus. With his great experience of people coming to faith, he could see they were missing something. So, prompted by the Holy Spirit, his first question was, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Their answer was very honest. No, we've not even heard there is a Holy Spirit. He'd asked exactly the right question. The earlier part of our reading tells us what happened. A Jew called Apollos has spoken with great fervor and talked accurately about Jesus. But he didn't know the full gospel. He hadn't experienced the full gospel. He only knew the baptism of John. He could only preach what he knew, and it wasn't the full gospel. Later on, I love Priscilla and Aquila. They're such an encouraging couple. I know a few people that are like Priscilla and Aquila in this congregation. Later on, Priscilla and Aquila had taken Apollos under their wing. They'd heard him and thought, good man, you're doing really well, but there's something you need to know. And they'd explained to him the way of God more adequately. But by the time that Paul comes to Ephesus, Apollos has moved on. There would have been quite a few disciples in Ephesus who had repented. They'd believed in Jesus. They'd heard what Apollos had said about him. But they'd not yet received the gift of the Holy Spirit. They'd not been baptized. So, how is this relevant to us? Why are we coming to this passage at the beginning of the new year? I've been looking forward to coming to this particular passage in many ways. And it's a good one to start the new year off. And there's two answers I want to bring you today as to why this is relevant to us today. Why it's important at the beginning of a new year. The first is personal for us. And the second is really for others. Personal, we too may have something missing that God wants to bless us with in 2021. For others, as we seek to obey Jesus' great commission and make disciples, we need to know and preach the full gospel, because we will reproduce who and what we are. If we misrepresent the gospel of Jesus Christ, like Apollos was doing, we will reproduce disciples who do the same. Without the Holy Spirit, we don't have the motivation or power to witness to Jesus and to keep on going. So, what are those things that we need to listen to today? Personal, something missing for us. Just look at those steps again for the gospel. Some of you, I don't know here where you are in your relationship with God. So that's why each week we always cover the full gospel. The firstly, repentance. Do you need to turn around and follow Jesus? If you're listening to this on a recording now, do you need to turn around and follow Jesus? If that's what's missing, do it today. Then there's faith. Do you believe in God Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as revealed in Scripture. Do you believe that Jesus died and rose from the dead, ascended into heaven, and rules and reigns today? Do you believe that Jesus died for all your sins and gives eternal life to all who trust in him? If that has not yet been your faith, that's not the decision you've made, then again, today is a day you can put your faith in Jesus. Know his forgiveness. Know his eternal life. Then there's baptism. Have you confessed your faith as Jesus commanded to you by being baptized? In the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That's what Jesus told us to do. And then there's baptism in the Holy Spirit by Jesus. Have you received the gift of the Holy Spirit from him? You may have heard the gospel from someone like Philip. He was an anointed evangelist, one of the original seven deacons chosen by the church to wait on tables to give out food. But he was much more than that. He was an anointed evangelist. Holy Spirit sent him off all sorts of places. He baptized believers in the name of Jesus, but he left out the Holy Spirit. Peter and John had to come on afterwards and lay hands on the people that he'd been preaching to so they might receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You can read about that in Acts 8. You may have heard the gospel from someone like Apollos. He was a gifted and powerful speaker who taught about Jesus accurately. But, like Apollos, they've not had experience of the Holy Spirit. However much they knew about Jesus, they couldn't give you what they hadn't received themselves. Paul had to lay hands on those disciples and pray that they received the gift of the Holy Spirit. And when they did, the evidence of the Holy Spirit was there. As they spoke in tongues, they praised God, they prophesied, they spoke the word of the Lord. So do you need someone to lay hands on you, to pray for you, to receive the Holy Spirit? Or in these current times, not lay hands on you, but towards you, and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit? God understands, he knows our limitations, but he wants us to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. I wonder if Peter, John, or Paul came here today, would they spot something missing in our faith? Would they ask any of us, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? I don't think we'd be very comfortable if they asked that question. But God isn't always about making us comfortable. He comforts us, but he doesn't make us comfortable if we need disturbing in a good way. One thing that's really important here, and you might want to reread this again just to check what I'm saying, but if you look, there is not any word of rebuke, criticism, or condemnation, either for the preachers or the believers who had something missing. Not a word. The apostles and the writer of Acts, Luke, their only concern is that everyone hears the full gospel and receives Jesus' gift of the Holy Spirit. So there's no criticism here of either the preachers or the believers. So if Peter, John, or Paul came here today, they wouldn't tell us off if I'm preaching the wrong thing, missing out something, or if you have not yet received the gift of the Holy Spirit. They wouldn't come down on you and look down on you and criticize you. They just say, you're missing out. You're missing out. Christmas is all about giving and the gift. And God's all about giving. He doesn't want us to miss out. So we need to respond for our own sake. If the something missing is not an it, but a him, then ask the Holy Spirit to come upon you. Jesus said, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? We know that one very well, that story. Many of us will have heard that story before. If you've got a child who asks you for a piece of bread, you don't give them a stone. If they ask them for a fish, you don't give them a snake. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give, in one reading of that, in Matthew it says give good gifts, in Luke it says how much more he will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. The Holy Spirit's a good gift that God wants to give us. Jesus said to the woman at the well, whoever drinks the water I will give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. If you're thirsty for the Holy Spirit, then ask and you will receive. But this is not just a message for us, for our own personal benefit. It is for the world. A broken world needs to know how to repent and be forgiven, set free from guilt and fear, healed. A hopeless world needs to know that Jesus is our hope and life today and forever. A lost world needs to know what it is to be found by Jesus, to be at peace, to follow him, to become fishers of men through his Holy Spirit. A powerless world needs to receive the Holy Spirit who can support them through all that life throws at them and transform them to become what they never could be on their own. If we have something missing, then we can't give them the gospel they need, even if we want to. If we want to preach the gospel to our world, we need the Holy Spirit to do it. I'm not going to ask you to put your hands up today, but just in your own heart, do you want to give other people good news? Then you need the Holy Spirit to help you do it. Jesus also said, whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. John explains, by this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. The Holy Spirit comes into us to flow out to others. I love being next to somebody who's full of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to embarrass Sheila now because she's already pink. So Sheila there. I love being next to Sheila because she is full of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit just overflows and I get filled, blessed, touched with the Holy Spirit just by being alongside her. I'm only saying this about Sheila because her humility can cope with the pride that this other world would give if I said to somebody else. But seriously, I love being next to people who are full of the Holy Spirit. And I want to be like that. I want people to bump into me and get wet in the right way. Do you know what I mean? With the water that brings eternal life. So, respond today to the Holy Spirit for your sake and for the world's sake. If you want to make a difference to the world today, then ask the Lord to give you his Holy Spirit today. If you have already received the gift of the Holy Spirit, when you were baptized in the Holy Spirit by Jesus, we're told, go on being filled. So even if you've received the Holy Spirit as a gift from God, you still need to keep on receiving his Spirit every day because we leak. It's a mystery. I think it's because God wants to keep us dependent upon him, to keep us connected to him. So I'm just going to lead us in a prayer and then we've got a song that expresses that sort of same sort of prayer, which Andrew will put on in a moment. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I want to go your way and not my way. Forgive me where I've sought to be in charge. Forgive me where I've tried to do things for my glory and in my own strength. Jesus, I believe in you, that you forgive us, you give us life. You baptize us with your Holy Spirit. You pour your Holy Spirit into us. Lord, I'm thirsty for you. I pray that you would give me your Holy Spirit today. For my blessing and for the blessing of the world and for your joy. Jesus, we know this is what you want for us because it says this in your word. This is what you came for. Help us not to be afraid of you or of your Spirit, but to have open arms, open hearts to receive you. Amen. Father God, I pray that you would keep pouring your Holy Spirit upon us each day for your glory. Amen. We're going to have the opportunity to share communion together. And Andrew, if you'd like to come up ready to pray. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Our God is a giving God, and Jesus commanded us to remember his gift of himself to us through a simple meal of bread and wine. Wherever we are today, we're invited to come together around this table as those who belong to the household of Christ. Brothers and sisters who in our baptized lives live out the death and resurrection of Jesus. The family of the reborn and the reconciled who inhabit a universe of grace. All those who are thankful to Jesus for what he's done for us and come to him in that attitude of repentance and faith are welcome to share in this meal together. Got a couple of responses that you might want to make up on the screen will be appearing in a moment. Just to come to the Lord with confession. Remembering the death and resurrection of the one who is our life and our meaning, we come first to acknowledge and die to all that is loveless and death-dealing in our lives. Jesus commands us to love God with all our heart and soul, mind and strength. As we reflect upon that command, we're aware of our shortcomings. If you want to pray, join with me. Father God, I have not kept this commandment. Forgive my godlessness and light the fire of your love in my heart. Jesus commands us to love our neighbors in the same way that we love ourselves. As we reflect on that command, we're aware again of our shortcomings. Father God, I have been selfish, hard-hearted, and mean-spirited. Forgive me, and may your grace melt and warm my heart. The Lord has promised us that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank you, Lord, for your forgiveness and grace. Amen. So, as those who are committed to a life of grace received for us and towards one another, we hear the story of the first Lord's Supper. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For this I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, Take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. Then later on that evening, he took bread and he gave thanks and he broke it. And he gave it to them, saying, This is my body, given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you.
Let us pray. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. We do indeed have lots to thank you for, Lord. So many things that we could hardly enumerate them all. And we thank you particularly for the beginning of this year, for bringing us safely to this point. We thank you for Christmas, for the celebrations that we have had. We thank you for the coming of yourself in the form of the Lord Jesus at Christmas. We thank you for his life, for his example, for the things he did, for the things he said, but most of all, for giving himself for us on that cross, that cruel cross. But again, for showing that death is not the end by rising from the dead and being with us even now. We thank you for his sacrifice. We thank you that you've asked us to do this for you. We thank you for the fact that you haven't asked us to do something difficult, like climbing a high mountain or travelling to a distant city or travelling across a fire pit or anything like that. We thank you that you've just asked us to commemorate this by taking wine and bread.
Thank you, Lord.
Such simple symbols, we thank you for them. We thank you for everything. Amen.
Amen. So as the bread is distributed, do take it and eat the body of Christ. And then the bread is sat on cups. Hold on to the cups with grape juice in it. And we'll drink those together to remind us that we are one in Christ. Lord Jesus, as we have been obedient to your command and we've broken bread, remembering your body broken on the cross, now we drink this wine as a reminder of your blood that has cleansed all our sin and made us one. Amen. Often at the beginning of a new year, we have a covenant service. And this year, we're here and we have celebrated the covenant in Jesus' blood. We think of and a covenant service often of what we're doing for the Lord. But it's good to be remembered, to be reminded. We start with what he's done for us. But we do, as we turn to the new year, looking at the days ahead, we want to serve the Lord, don't we? And there's some statements here that come from Scripture, from Romans, about how we should live in response to the mercy and grace that we've received. And so, Andrew, if we could have our next slide, thank you. If you'd like to join in with these words, do. Go with us, Lord, so that we can love in all sincerity, loathing what is evil and clinging to what is good. We will be devoted to one another as brothers and sisters, honoring each other above ourselves. We will be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. We will share with God's people who are in need and practice hospitality. With your help, we will bless those who persecute us, blessing and not cursing. We will not repay evil for evil. We will not be overcome by evil, but by the power of your Spirit, we will overcome evil with good. Go with us, good Lord, and live in us the life of the kingdom. Amen. And our final song we're going to use to help us to worship and bring the service to a close is Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. And it's one thing I'm saying to myself, and I would encourage you to do, is keep your eyes fixed on Jesus.
No light in the darkness, you
And let's finish with that word grace as we say the grace for one another and bless one another. Feel free to have a sideways glance at your neighbor as you do this. And Angela, I've got you. So may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Thank you.